You'll turn now in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Last Sunday we looked at the first two verses in this psalm. We'll continue to work through it throughout December. I'd like to read the entire psalm. I'm reading from the New International Version, Psalm 90. The heading tells us that it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, for you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Establish, yes, establish the work of our hands. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Father, we do pause and ask now for your grace. We confess our, not only our sinfulness, but our frailty and our need for you to come and strengthen us and give us light in our minds, enable us to understand what is written here, what Moses has prayed. Help us to enter into that prayer ourselves, knowing that we are entering into words that you have given to us to pray. Instruct us by your Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Advent is a time of longing and waiting. A people walking in darkness. A people living in a dark land and in a dark time, conscious of their human frailty and the shortness of life, yet hopeful for the future. As Jesus said, pointing us to his second advent, "Look up, your redemption is drawing near." And as we prayed earlier, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now we know that Christ has already come. The death blow against sin and death and hell has already been delivered on the cross. In the words of the Puritan John Owen, the death of death in the death of Christ is already an accomplished fact. And now, because of the resurrection of Christ, righteousness, life, and heaven are ours. And yet, here we are, December 13th, 2015, a people still walking in darkness, living in a dark land during a dark time. All is not right. Sickness and disease, painful memories, tears, the death of dear loved ones, hurtful words recklessly thrown about, racial prejudice, world hunger, homelessness, wars and rumors of war abound. Things are not right. We're still in the darkness. We're still walking in darkness, still longing, still waiting, but not without hope. A people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, where we hear Moses pleading with God to give wisdom, wisdom to make the most of this life as we all encounter the problem of time. His prayer can be summarized with those words in verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to number our days. We need to think about our life, how frail it is, how short it is. And then for God to give us wisdom so we'll know how to make the most of time. The problem of time, simply stated, is that it's always running out. Life is fragile. Life is short. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. And that's the problem. We're still walking in darkness, still walking through the valley of the shadow of death, still struggling with this problem of time, sorrow, trouble, sickness, disease, the threat of war. With this prayer in Psalm 90, Moses gives us at least three pictures to describe this dark world and our fragile and fleeting experience here. And God can use these pictures to create within us a longing for something better, for something more, to point us onward toward that great Advent light of Jesus Christ. Three pictures. The first picture is that of dust. Very easy to grasp this picture. Verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity, dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Now, don't hang on, nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Cary Livgren is the lead guitarist for the rock group Kansas. Wrote this song after reading an early Native American poem that contained this little phrase that we are just like dust in the wind. And his wife, Vicky, urged him to take those words and try to work it into a song, which he did in 1977. It was the only song that Kansas had in the top 10. And you're thinking, well, what about Carry On, My Wayward Son? Only number 11. 3 years after writing this song, Livgren became a Christian and learned that there's more to life than just being dust. That wayward son can find heaven. Moses is thinking about dust, clearly meditating on something that Moses wrote earlier, the book of Genesis. We are made of dust. Moses wrote the words in Genesis. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Because of Adam's sin and his fall away from God, our destiny is dust. Again, Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Psalm 104, verse 29, tells us something similar. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. And then our whole being, our body, soul, and spirit can be now said to have this dust-like, fragile character. And so in Psalm 103, verses 7 and 8, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel, and then quoting something that Moses wrote, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. And then verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. All we are is dust in the wind. Unlike a tree, there are no roots to dust. There's no life, no bearing fruit, no future. Dust is just easily blown and lost forever. And dust is so dull. Unlike the rest of God's beautiful creation, right? Green grass, the blue sky, white fluffy clouds, majestic mountains, amber waves of grain, watching the sun rise in Sullivan's Island, watching it set over the Ashley River. But dust is just so dull. So dull and lifeless and boring. All we are is dust in the wind. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. The second picture is that of a day, a single passing day. Verse 4, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. Again, Moses is meditating on the book of Genesis that he wrote, and this time he's thinking about chapter 5. That tedious account that you can't wait till it's over with. It's just a list of names. They lived, they died. Let's get on to chapter 6 and the flood and Noah. But he's obviously thinking about chapter 5. Adam lived 930 years and then he died. His son Seth lived 912 years and then he died. Enosh, 905 years and then he died. Kenan, 910 years and then he died. On and on. Methuselah, 969 years he lived and then he died. And Moses is thinking about all of these people who almost lived to be 1,000 years old. And as he thinks about them, it's as though their whole life can just be summed up in one day, really in just one statement. They lived and they died. Even though they had lived almost 1,000 years, they lived and they died. The busy tribes of flesh and blood with all their lives and cares, are carried downward by thy flood and lost in following years. 1,000 years are like a day, but what seems shorter than a day? The night. Why does the nighttime seem shorter? You go to sleep, and it passes by so quickly. You drift off to sleep, you awake and wonder, I got to go to work already? You know, where did all the time go? People that will fly across country, what they want to do is sleep on the plane to try to make the time go by faster. It seems shorter than a day. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Short is the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. And then what's even shorter than the time in which you sleep? A dream. A dream that just pops into your mind and then is gone as soon as you wake up. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Dust, a single passing day with its dreams, and then the third picture, dry grass. Verse 5, you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Dry, withered grass. It's a common biblical picture. We see it in Psalm 103, immediately after referring to dust. Verse 15, he says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. Or those very familiar words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass. All their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. It's all a rather dismal picture. Dust, single passing day, dry grass, it's withered. All three depict how fragile and fleeting human life is, our life. All three depict our human existence here in exile, a people walking in darkness, living in a dark land during a dark time of human history, and running out of time. A people walking in darkness, but they have seen a great light, and therefore they have hope. These three pictures that Moses gives us send us hoping and longing for the gracious promises of the New Testament. It sends us just longing for something better. There's got to be something more than just this dust, just to live 70, 80 years, and then be completely lost. So God uses this dismal picture to create within us a longing for the grace of Jesus Christ. And so turning to the New Testament, this dull picture can now be filled in and colored with the Advent light of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read these three passages. I'm not going to really make any comments on them, but just they're familiar passages to you, but I just want you to hear the promises that come to us from the New Testament. The law says we are but dust. Return to dust, you mortals. But our gracious Lord Jesus says, there's hope even for dust. The first passage, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 47, Paul writes, the first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, that is to be dust, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. But the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. The law says that we are but dust. Jesus says there's hope, even for dust. The law says that our whole life is like a single passing day. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. But our gracious Lord Jesus says it's not over yet. The best is yet to come. 2 Peter chapter 3, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. A new day is coming. And then the law says that we are all like dry grass that withers and dies. But our gracious Lord Jesus promises that you will not die, but live. And standing at the end of all human history is not just a pile of dead grass, but the tree of life. Revelation 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our God, our help in ages past, but our hope for years to come. Let's pray. Father, when we just look at ourselves in this life, it is so dull and death-like. We try to run from the truth, but it's here, and we all know it to be true. Life is fragile. Life is brief. And yet, when we turn our faces toward you, we see that eternal dwelling place. Our God, our help, our hope, our shelter, our eternal home. Father, help us in this dark time in which we live, when we see so much that is not right and things that are going wrong in our country and in our culture, things that are going wrong in our own families and our own lives. Help us to continually turn our faces toward you, to call upon you, and to be saved. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The offering that we take each